We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
Here in Galatians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, he said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ or distort. But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have preached unto you, let him be a curse. As ye said before, so say I now. Again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received, let him be a curse. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I speak to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, or assure you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. The old time religion, just keep that thought in your mind. And so I think it is so important in the day in which that we live. It has always been important, but it's so important today because we have so many different types of religion. We have so many different people saying that this is the way to heaven. So many different cults and all these kind of things that are saying that you can get to heaven this way. So I think it's very, very important that we understand the true gospel, that we do understand that the Apostle Paul said that there's only one gospel. There's not two gospels. There's not two ways. There's only one way. And so when I speak of this here, in the thinking of the average person, religion and salvation are synonymous. And but there could be nothing farther from the truth, because there is a gulf between the two. A person may be so religious and know nothing of salvation. Now, that's what we're seeing today. That's what we're seeing on our television screens with all of this, all of these things that are going on. People that are religious but don't have no clue of what that salvation is. And the fact is, as I said this before, there's more people, I believe with all my heart, going to hell the religious route than any other. And so I want to deal with that here this morning. Religious but lost. Jesus said, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, not everyone who professes to be a Christian is really saved. Very easy to profess, but here we know that we got to possess the Lord Jesus Christ. So I can you imagine anything any more tragic than a person going through life, living a religious life and doing religious, that word, thinking all the time that because of these things that he's saved, and then finally hearing the Lord say, I never knew you, depart from me. Religious but lost. How terrible, how horrible that would be. And so today, I said last week that the real plan of salvation, the old time religion, is revealed plan of salvation. The Apostle Paul said, for I neither received it of man. He said, neither was I taught it, but I received it of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Said, this gospel that I preached to you was revealed unto me by the Lord Jesus Christ. And we talked about last week, the old time religion is salvation by grace. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It's the gift of God. There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. It's grace and grace alone. And so we talked about that the last time that we looked into this scripture. And then this morning,
I want to talk about a couple of other things. I want you to know the third thing is the old time religion is a heartfelt religion. Millions of people go through life hoping to be saved. Millions of people go through life crying to be saved. Millions of people go through life hanging on to something, not knowing whether or not they're saved. You can be saved and know it. For the Bible says that salvation is a heartfelt religion. And listen to what he says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself. Galatians 4:6 says, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Romans 8:15-16, for we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. When you're saved, you not only have the witness of the Spirit, and that's what you do if you're saved. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, and you have the witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart that you're saved. And so, but being born again itself is a very definite experience. Job, as you remember, Job, in the midst of all of the tragedy that was going on in his life, the loss of everything that he had, his family, his cattle, everything that he had, Job could say this right here. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. How could you know that, Job? How did you know that you're Redeemer? He says, because that I have had a personal experience with him. Paul could say, I know whom I have believed. How do you know, Paul? I've had a personal experience. And so I asked you this morning is, have you personally had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you encountered him personally? It's not your mom that told you you were saved, not that you went somewhere and raised your hand up and told people that you wanted to be saved, or not this or that, but do you know that you have had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what the Apostle Paul says. You've got to have that experience. It's not by the will of the flesh. It's not the fact because mama was saved that you're automatically saved. It's not the fact that you, mom and daddy, are good Christians that you're saved. You must have that experience yourself. The old time religion, the fourth thing, centers in a person. Salvation is in a person. Salvation is not in works. Salvation is not in character. Salvation is not in morality. Salvation is not in some church. Salvation is not in church membership. Salvation is not in some kind of an external religion, but in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. So salvation, old time religion, is based on a person. And so the Apostle Paul saying over in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I know whom. Now, if you have your Bibles there, I want you to look at that. The Apostle Paul said, I know whom. I want you to get this. The word is not what. Salvation is not in a what. Salvation, Paul didn't say, I know what, I believe. But Paul said, I know whom. In other words, I know whom I have believed. Or Paul says, I know whom I have trusted. Am persuaded, or the word persuaded mean fully convinced. I'm fully convinced, he's saying, that he is able to keep that which I've committed or entrusted unto him against that day. Now notice he did not say, I know what I have done or what kind of a life I've lived, but he's simply saying, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And so he says here, now Paul told his experience of salvation in one brief sentence in these few words. I know whom I believed and persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. First, that whom there, and I want you to listen here, the whom is a person. Paul said, I know whom I've trusted. He had trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. He had trusted a person, the Son of God, as a personal Savior, his sin barrier. Then he committed or entrusted something to him. He said he had entrusted his soul and his destiny for time and eternity to him. That's exactly what I did. That's exactly what you did if you're saved. There was a time when I came to an altar when the Holy Spirit had convicted me of my sins and I saw myself as a sinner, no way to save myself. And I knew that I had the sentence of death hanging over me and there was no way that I could pay that debt. I had to come and by faith claim what Jesus done on the cross of Calvary for the payment of my sins. And when I came and I believed that, I said, Lord, I give you my soul and I'm entrusting his destiny to you. I am trusting what I'm doing right here on this altar is what it takes for me to be saved and get to heaven. That's what Paul said. I've persuaded that which I've committed unto him. That's what you committed to him. You committed your eternal destiny to the Lord Jesus by believing in him. Listen, you're going to be living somewhere 10,000 years from now. Every one of us sitting in here tonight today, we're going to be living somewhere 1,000,000 years from now. What's going to matter is where you're living at has to do with what you do with Jesus. And so he said, I know. Paul meant that he had put his trust in Jesus Christ, his personal Savior. And he had handed his soul over to Christ. That's the fifth thing I want you to see is the old time religion rests upon three great facts. First fact that the old time religion rests upon is the atonement of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. He has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Simply says he took my place. Jesus took your place. Jesus died in your stead. He bore my sins. He bore your sins. He paid the penalty for my sins, the wages of which was death. My sins fell upon Jesus. The judgment of God was upon him. That's what he's saying. The judgment for my sins was upon Jesus when he was on the cross. He was wounded, talking about Jesus. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The modernists and the liberals would tell us today that we're to be saved by imitating the beautiful life of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you tell me that's my only hope of salvation, is to imitate and live like the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you that you haven't offered me any hope of salvation. For when I look at that marvelous life, when I look at the life that the Lord Jesus lived while he was here upon this earth, and I see what a wonderful life, I tell myself frankly that I cannot live like that. I can't love like Jesus loved. I can't give like Jesus gave. I can't forgive like Jesus forgave. I can't live that kind of a life. And if you tell me that's my only hope of heaven is to be able to measure up to his standard, then I'd have to tell you you're not offering me any hope. Because I can't do it. I can't do it. You can't do it. There's nobody that can do it. The man who sentenced Jesus to death and turned him over to be crucified. Pilate said in John chapter 19, verse 5, I find no fault in him. Pilate's wife came and said to Pilate one day in Matthew 27, 19, have thou nothing to do with that just man. Judas, who sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, said in Matthew 27, 4, I have betrayed the innocent blood. He was such a man that he could stand in the presence of his bitterest enemies and say, which of you convinces me of sin? Which one of you can find anything that's sin in my life? Which one of you can point out and say and convince me or say that I've done something that was sin? Not a sin, not a stain, not a fault, not a shortcoming. Perfect. Never made a mistake. He never said or done the wrong thing. He never had the wrong attitude. And you tell me that I must imitate that life in order to be saved. And I'll tell you, as I look into my poor, sinful heart, that you have not helped me or held out to me any hope of salvation. I can't do that. I have a bad attitude a lot of times. I have wrong kinds of thoughts a lot of times. Instead, you have thrust me in the very depths of eternal despair. For try as much as I will to live like and how I would love to be able to do that, I cannot, and there's no hope if that's the way of salvation. But if you tell me, thank God for this, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath its flood lose all their guilty stain. Thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses from all sin. Only hope there is. And so I want you to lead me. My poor heart cries out, lead me to that fountain that is higher than what I need. I need something, and you need something that would make me clean. You're dirty. I was dirty. I needed something that would make me clean. I needed something that would rid my conscience of the burden of sin. I needed something that would bring me again into reconciliation and peace with God. Our sins has severed our relationship. Our sins have separated us from God. Thank God He promised us, when you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, He will put my sins behind His back and remember them against me no more, forever. God wants... Once those sins are forgiven, once those sins are confessed and forgiven, He puts them, He says, behind His back, never to remember them against you again. Thank God. It's not about works. It's not about morality. It's not about what you can do to earn it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. And that's what I need. So the first great fact that old-time religion depends upon is the atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus dying in our stead. Jesus taking upon Himself our sin. Jesus there with our sins on Him takes upon Himself the judgment for our sins. That's the first fact. The second fact is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Romans 1:4, He says, the Apostle Paul said, declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. The grave could not hold Him. He's not a dead Christ. If we had a dead Christ this morning, I would have stayed in bed and I wouldn't have come, because we'd have no hope. I was watching TV the other night, and one of my shows that I like to watch, and I was watching it, and this fellow was facing a very hard time in his life, and so he went in and he knelt down, and that big old Buddha was sitting up there. Big old fat man, made out of gold, big old belly. And there he knelt down, looking for hope, looking for help. A dead statue that's made with the hands of man. And people are so deceived that they think somebody like that can help them. There's people are so committed to that. And so, but listen to me. We as Christians today, we have a living Savior. Yes, He died once and He went to the grave, but the grave could not hold Him. On the third day, He came forth triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. So that's one of the facts of real old-time religion. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't worship a Christ on a crucifix. Now, I'm not saying if you're here this morning, you have a necklace on, you have Jesus on the trials to hide it and take it off. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying to you this morning, our Savior is not still on the cross. He came off of the cross, and He's alive today. And so He burst asunder the bonds of death, and brought out with Him the keys of death and hell. And He's living right now at the right hand of God. God the Father said in Matthew 22:44, "Sit thou on my right hand till I make thy enemies thy footstool." That's why Paul said he must reign till he has put all the enemies under his feet. 1 Corinthians 15:25. He's living. He's a living. He's a conquering Christ this morning. And the risen Christ is my hope of victory along the journey of life after I was saved. That's what I got my faith in this morning. So many preachers, so many preach only half of the gospel. And the half of the gospel is, the first half is that Christ died for our sins, that He bore our sins in His own body on the cross. And in that atonement made satisfaction for our sins, satisfying God's holiness and God's justice. God can now be just. And He can be justifier of him which believeth, Romans 3:16 said. But that's only half of the gospel. That's only half of it, that Christ died for our sin. If that was all of it, then we would be the most hopeless people on the face of the earth. If Jesus had died and He had not rose from the dead, we would still be in our sins. We would still be without any hope. But listen, the other half is, He arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He lives. He lives. Not only does He live, but He lives in me. He lives in you if you're saved. That's salvation, not in works, not in character, not in religion. But Christ in you, the hope of glory. I've heard many people say, "I'd like to be a Christian. I'd love to be one. But if I were to be a Christian, I'd want to know that I could hold out." Oh, I'd love... How many times I've heard people tell me that. I had a young man that I cared so much about. I would visit him and he would just weep. And I'd try to get him saved and he would just weep and cry and say, "I want to, Oscar, but I'm afraid that I can't live it." I never could. Never could get him convinced that that's not the way it is. And I want to tell you, and to this day, he's still unsaved. This day, he's still lost. I don't see him anymore. I want to tell you, you can't do it. There's nobody in the world could do that. If you're not for the fact that Christ lives, and when you're saved, He comes into your heart to live there, then we can say with the Apostle Paul, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that liveth in me." And praise the Lord, the Bible says, "Greater is He that's in us, He that is in the world." The victory is entrusted in His power. The victory is entrusted in His works in us to break the power of sin. See, what I'm saying is, you can't live it. And a natural man can't understand that. But what happens after you get saved is the Lord Jesus comes into your heart, into your life, in the person of the Holy Spirit. And He lives this marvelous life that I'm talking about through you and in you. You can't do it. I can't do it. If we could have done it, then Jesus died in vain. But we can't. But He can live it through it. And then the third thing, the fact is, the intercession of Jesus Christ. Wherefore He's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercessions for them. Uttermost. It means in every battle. It means every step of the way. It means in every trial, every temptation. It means until I'm safe in glory. That's what that word uttermost means. He's able to save to the uttermost. That's why Paul said He's able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. And you would say, Paul, what day are you talking about? You didn't tell us what day you're talking about. You said he was able to keep that against that day. Paul could answer you this morning on what day he was talking about. He'd say, that day of all days. That day when the heavens shall be rolled together like a scroll, and elements shall melt with permanent heat. He's the living Christ. He's able to keep you against that day. You listen to me, that day's coming. That day's coming. But this old world is going to burn up with a fervent heat. And the clouds are going to be rolled together like a straw. Are you ready? The only thing that keeps you from being saved is your own will. Jesus says, they will not come to me that they could be saved. And so, I want to tell you, the intercession of Jesus Christ. I want to say, anyway, we can't get too many people excited about it anymore. But I want you to know this. I may not get excited about anything else, but isn't it wonderful to be a Christian? Isn't it wonderful to be saved? Isn't it wonderful to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? To be able to lay your head on the pillow tonight and say, if I don't wake up in the morning in this world and see my husband or my children, I know that I'm going to wake up in a better place. Isn't that wonderful? Is that not worth more than what money could buy you? Is that not worth more than anything in this world could ever mean to you? It's wonderful. I want you to know, when I got saved, I didn't do the saving. I just did the letting. In other words, what I'm saying is, I just received it. Faith is an empty hand that's held out to receive. That is, eternal life is a gift that's offered. And it's held out in a nail-scarred hand. I wish that everybody here this morning could see beyond me. See that I'm standing here in the stead of the Lord Jesus. That I'm just a man that has been called and anointed of God to offer to you His Word this morning. That Jesus is standing here with His nail-scarred hands outstretched and saying, I have the gift of eternal life in my hands that I want to give to you. If you'll just come and receive it. Whenever that a gift is offered, you don't have to beg for it. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to pay for it. When a gift is offered to you, all you have to do is just come and receive it.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church. Or visit our website at UnionTempleFWB.org.